Welcome to the Hypnotex Podcast. This podcast is a discussion of all things hypnotherapy and hypnosis. Because it may contain examples of hypnotic speech and hypnosis inductions, we recommend you listen in a safe environment. Listening while riding the bus is okay. Listening while driving or operating heavy machinery may not be. Please use your best judgment. Now, here's our host, Rob from Hypnotex.
Hi, I'm Rob from Hypnotex, and this is the Hypnotex Podcast. Now, we're verging into my trigger space here, or pet peeve space, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to talk about this subject, but I'm going to try to not rant about it, all right? So if I go there, I apologize. I'll try to pull myself back as quick as possible. We're going to talk about promotion and self-promotion in the hypnosis industry. This is a trigger for me, okay? I don't know what it is about the industry that causes people to just lose their minds, to go completely crazy about self-promotion, and then to fight over who came up with something, who invented this. And I know, yes, that's in every industry. I get it. Yes, Rob, yes, everybody does this. I know, but it's berserk in the hypnosis and hypnotherapy industry. People arguing, people suing, and to be honest, I don't completely understand it. I'm going to use the word derivative. And so the funny thing is hypnosis has been around for 4,000 years. And I see a lot of people suing each other over things that are derivative. In other words, there's really no basis in claiming you made it up because the Egyptians did, or because Mesmer did, or any number of people who historically have practiced hypnotherapy made it up. And so this was triggered by an article that I read, and I'll link that here below. And it's two hypnotherapists bickering very, very publicly, and one is suing the other, and so the one is that one is then suing back, and they're suing over. So here's the whole story. Both of them had the same mentor, so they learned their techniques from the same guy, and that guy's out of the game. He's not. He's either not practicing or he died. I'm not sure which, but in any case, their mentor is now gone. So the two of them had the same mentor, and they know who each other are. And so now it turns out that one of them went to the other one for some training. And so they're very acquainted with each other. But then they had the opportunity to work with Kelly Rowland, who is the singer for Destiny's Child. And I'm going to be completely honest, and I'm going to tell you, this describes sort of the pop culture rock that I apparently live under. I don't know Kelly Rowland or Destiny's Child, and I'm going to go look her up, and I'm going to try to find out what I'm going to listen to some of the music, but I'm talking about her here, and she's a celebrity, and she's a singer for a band, and I couldn't name a single song. So my apologies if that's your favorite band. You're right. I should know, and I don't. So in any case, the one hypnotherapist worked with Kelly Rowland and helped her beat some cravings and some issues that she was having, and now the other one is suing, saying that he should have been the celebrity hypnotist to the stars, because the hypnotist who got the job actually stole his technique. And so, and both of them, of course, like, again, got the training from the same guy. So the courts will try to unravel this and try to figure it out. And trademark and patent infringement and these sort of things are always complicated. But okay, seriously, come on, guys. So here's why this gets me. Okay. So when you see hypnotherapist advertising, for some reason, all of them, a lot of hypnotherapists and hypnotists, stage guys are certainly not blameless here. They like to use superlatives. They really like to describe themselves as world's fastest hypnotist. Sorry, Sean, but It is what it is, okay? They describe themselves as the tallest hypnotist or the most educated hypnotist. They really love these words that make them number one in some way that in the end really doesn't matter. I mean, sure. So Shawn Michael Andrews, who I actually happen to think a whole lot of, great hypnotist, absolutely remarkable. But he does, and I cringe a little bit when he says it. He describes himself, one of his taglines, as world's fastest hypnotist. Is this proven? I'm sure he's got somebody with a stopwatch, but it's not a record that I care about, and it's probably not a record that hypnotherapy clients care about, and it's really just not a thing to me anyway. And again, Sean, I apologize. I when this gets back to you, I do think incredibly highly of your methods, but yeah, the superlatives, fastest, most beautiful hypnotist, these things are unprovable. Multiple hypnotists are describing themselves as the fastest. And, you know, you can trademark the tagline, world's fastest hypnotist, or the courts may let you trademark that. Whether or not you can sustain it, whether or not you can enforce it, hard to say. But it's something, for somehow that became a competition where you got to come up with a word that describes yourself, and then you are number one in the space with that. And it helps the masses sort of stick to you and remember that, and they get to say, oh, well, I went and saw my hypnotherapist is the fastest hypnotherapist or the deepest hypnotherapist or the prettiest hypnotherapist. And I get it. I understand. But it's marketing hyperbole. It really is. It's really just that. It doesn't assist with the hypnotherapy. For Sean, for the demos that he does, fast is important. I get it. And he is really fast. People go into trance for him just standing looking at him sometimes. But, anyway, somehow that became a thing. Now, what's even stranger is the battle over inductions. So now a hypnotic induction is the way that you work someone or yourself into hypnosis. And so there's a thing called progressive relaxation. And you've seen this if you've seen movies. This is you're getting sleepy, the hair on the top of your head is very relaxed, and now your scalp is relaxed, and now your ears are relaxed, and now your chin is relaxed, and now your neck is relaxed, and your shoulders. And progressive meaning that it progresses, it continues. It can either go down your body or it can go inside and out, etc. But there's this relaxation. And that's an induction. And then there's the Dave Ellman handshake induction, which is where you walk up and you shake somebody's hand. And there's a cool technique that you do. And during that, the people go into hypnosis. And so there's these ways that we use, and all hypnotists and hypnotherapists use. And now Justin Trance is going to object and say, well, if you're using inductions, you're not really a hypnotist. Okay, it's a definitional thing at that point. It's semantics. One way or another, just for purposes of conversation, we're going to call the transition, the thing that triggers the transition into hypnosis, and induction. And what's weird is this has become a battle, and people argue over who invented it. Again, we have this sort of derivative side of things where people use inductions that, just recently I saw a guy who was arguing that he invented a handshake the handshake induction because he did it a particular way. It was really important that you used three pumps of the hand, not two. Because three was his method. And so you can see that this, again, becomes derivative. Is it different? Yeah, maybe. Has no one done it before? Probably not. Does it help? With a sample of one, we can't really even say that. And so they promote themselves. And this is remarkable. There's actually a couple of hypnotists, who really ought to know better. These guys have been around for a really long time. But they make their living off describing themselves. One guy in particular describes himself as having invented more hypnotic inductions than anyone on the planet. And if you're in the industry, if you're one of my listeners who actually is into hypnosis and hypnotherapy, you may figure out who I'm talking about. But he's done a ton of videos with his partner, and the two of them, they're good. You know, they pull it off. They're consistent. The videos aren't particularly inspirational or remarkable. There's nothing that new in them. But the one guy in particular describes himself. He likes his tagline is that he's invented more hypnotic inductions than anybody else. And so there's this thing called a butterfly induction. And quite literally, it goes back 100 years. There's descriptions of it in the literature where you take your fingers and you put it in front of somebody's face and people fixate. So it's a eye fixation induction, which is a common class of inductions, includes the pocket watch that you see you're getting sleepy when then you see the pocket watch. It's become kind of a cliche. That's a fixation. Pocket watch thing works really good. Works really good on kids. They like to stare, and then that causes them to find their way into hypnosis. But this one, you put your fingers in front of the person's face, and then you flutter your fingers. And this individual, he claims, well, I've invented 752 individual inductions, all completely different than the other. And so when he breaks them down, one of the things he says is, well, I invented this induction, and he puts his fingers in front of your face and flutters his fingers around, and he goes, I invented that one. And then he puts his fingers in front of your face and he says, here's a completely different induction, and I invented that one too. And he flutters a different number of fingers around in front of your face. And then all the way up to a full hand of fingers, and then he puts both hands out there, and somehow these are in his count. So out of his 750 million inductions that he invented, each finger, as he adds a finger onto it, he considers that to be a new and unique induction. So when I was in broadcasting, when I was in radio, one of the greatest salespeople that I ever worked with, super bright guy, could sell water to a drowning man. Absolutely remarkable. I was amazed. And I talked to him at one point about, this is a really silly event, I said. This is ridiculous. How did you find a sponsor? And he told me single sentence, and it's stuck with me ever since. He said, quote, sell the sizzle, not the steak, unquote. So what he was saying is that it's about the marketing, that marketing hyperbole is important. It doesn't matter. The steak is not, everybody has steaks. All the restaurants in the world have steaks. Sell the sizzle. Make it sound exciting. Make it sound like it's unique. Make it sound, and that's what's happening here. So I don't know. You got to decide for yourself, dear listener. You need to decide whether this is important to you or whether you find it absurd and ridiculous like I do. These guys suing each other over who invented what or who's the tallest hypnotist, it just seems to detract from the actual important things, which to me is getting out there on stage and creating new bits, actually trying to come up with something new. That's another thing. The stage guys sue each other over a bit that came up, and it turns out that 100 years ago, some traveling hypnotist did the same bit. And it seems weird to me in this time point in our evolution that we're arguing over derivative stuff. So you kind of got to decide for yourself. When you're looking up your hypnotherapist or you're looking up your stage hypnotist for your gig, does it matter that they self-promote themselves as the world's ugliest hypnotist, or they promote themselves as, you can imagine. You've seen it. You do a quick search for hypnotists and hypnotherapists, you're going to run over it super fast. Again, I'm going to include this article in here, and it identifies the hypnotists, and you can decide whether this is something that's important to you or whether you think it's, I literally find it to be silly and absurd. The self-promotion and promotion within the hypnosis industry has just, in my opinion, gotten completely out of control, and I tune out when I hear it. It's a big thing. You go to a convention and this guy's suing this guy and people are taking sides, and I just don't understand why. It's which one of them actually accomplished anything. They're both repeating something they learned from their mentors. So not saying there aren't any new ideas, and obviously those are worth protecting or sharing even better, since that would help the industry. But suing each other over derivative stuff so that you can claim you're the world's tallest hypnotist, it's just bizarre stuff. Let me know what you think. Fill in the comments, send me an email. I would be most interested in hearing your opinion on this. I know it's a outside the industry problem, but oh boy, here it is. I was really hoping for better in this industry, but nope, we're going to sue each other over that too. So let me know what you think. Appreciate you tuning in once again. I'm Rob from Hypnotex, and this is the Hypnotex Podcast.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Hypnotex Podcast. Your host today has been Rob Parrott from Hypnotex. Join us again soon for another episode. If you would like to learn more about Hypnotex or hypnotherapy and hypnosis, visit hypnotex.com.